Okay, so as you can see, there are difficult questions to be asked to both camps, and now the time for questions for you. One, two, three, and there was one hand here.
I just would like to come back to the last paragraph of the presentation when it says that in second coming of Jesus, everything will be clarified and everybody will be the same. I wonder what the people who are opposite to the equality of the women in ministry are think about that. Do you know if when Jesus will come, people who are against the ordination of women, where will be a position of women in on the new earth?
They would argue the hierarchical model. So the hierarchy stays for
so
eternity.
So still, you're saying that they believe that the still women will be submit to men on the new earth.
Yes.
Okay. Do they have any proof of that?
First Corinthians 15.
Okay. Brilliant.
I mean, their reading of 1 Corinthians 15. But of course, each one of us is only our reading of that. So there's nothing pejorative when I say their reading, you know. But they, to be honest, that's how they argue.
Okay, Dr. Duda, I'm just going to cross-examine you now.
Wow.
On some of the logical, you know, you spoke of the domino effect. So some of the points that you've put across, I just want to go over with you again so that we understand where we stand.
Sure. I thought I am just presenting the view,
yes.
Not being on cross-examined, but...
Well, you are a teacher of the Bible.
Okay.
Okay, so I put you in that respect. Even Pastor Bernie is a teacher of the Bible, so I put him in that respect. Okay. So, first point, you said Adam sinned. Okay, right? Do we agree that... Let me put it across again. Let me start again. The Bible, the account of Genesis of the fall, it is Eve who sinned, but God asked Adam why. Why is it you went to Adam? That's point number one. If they had equal function, Adam and Eve, in that day, why was one asked and the other one not?
No, both.
So
are
that's
asked. Both are asked.
Let's, if we go to the Genesis account,
yes.
God starts with Adam. Why did he not go to Eve, who is the person who did it?
I mean, he went to Eve also because he's asked the question, Eve, what happened? So
let's
both of them.
What I'm asking is the logical flaw of the reasoning behind to say they are equal. Why would God go first to Adam, not to Eve? So that's point number one. Okay, second number two. You said men came from the dust, okay, and women came from Adam.
Yes.
The Bible does not record that. It says God took a rib and formed. So that's a logical flaw. I'm saying.
Yeah, Andrew, but we are not here to argue
No, what I'm saying is the domino effect of the way someone thinks, you end up with a certain conclusion. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying what you said is wrong and what you've concluded is wrong, but what I'm just saying is, when we take a point from Scripture, let's be clear from what Scripture says and what
yes.
we think. I think
so
it's a fair way.
So we are clear on this one.
Yes.
We are clear on the fact that Adam is taken from the ground, Eve is taken from the rib. We are clear on that one.
No.
The text
God,
says that.
God took a rib and formed.
Yeah, sure. And he
okay,
took the
so,
dust.
So,
he
so,
took the dust of the earth and formed it into Adam. So it's the same argument. And we are clear on the fact that he asked both Adam and he asked Eve and he even asked the serpent. Now, yes, you can argue that he asked Adam first, but proponents would easily say, yeah, because he presupposes the hierarchical model, which is going to be after the fall. But once again, I am not on the dock to answer for God. Why did you ask Adam first? I have no idea.
So all I'm just saying is these things, they come on both camps. I am, as I sit here, I'm not convinced with both camps whether they make a case from a biblical position. So I, as I see it, as a Christian today, I don't see enough evidence against it from scriptural point of view.
That's okay.
I don't see points for it from a scriptural point of view. So the last one was on culture. of which I think you did a very good job when you said,
"Oh, thank you." I was not trying to do a job well, for one point, but
yes, I think you did a very good job when you pointed out to say, "How far are we going to go into this?" If we say culture is the determinant driver of how the gospel must be interpreted, how far should we take it through? So I think it's as far as I see it here, you pointed one issue which I think was very good when you said, was the culture ready when we introduced cereals into the world? When they were used to bacon and egg, was the culture ready?
As ready as it was.
So what I'm trying to say is some of the things that are going to be introduced into our culture may not actually be ready, but it is the moving of God's Spirit that will be a final determinant. So culture cannot be taken as a final authority of the church.
Oh, sure. We all agree on that one. We all agree on that one. Just please understand, I would love to start at 10:30 and say, guys, let's go into this pastoral care aspect of our discussion. The reason why I can't do it is that some of you will say, wait a minute, this is the truth issue. This is the theology issue. And that's why I need to take the time before the lunch and say, guys, regardless of where you stand on the issue, do you understand how is it possible that people read the same Bible and come to two different opposing conclusions? I am not here to cut it for you and say this one is right, this one is wrong. No. You read the arguments, you read the best papers. I tried my best to present both sides in such a way that the opponents of ordination would say, man, this is good. I could not have said it better. This is what I believe. And I tried my best to present the proponents and say, if you believe this about the Bible, this is how they argue, this is how they reason to come to this conclusion. So that now, after a few more questions and the lunch, we can go and say, and what are we going to do after the 12th of July? And where you stand on the issue, it's between you and the Lord. I am not here. My job is not to convince you one or the other way. Now, I have my preference, and of course, if you listen carefully, I'm sorry it came through, but I can still love you, and I think the umbrella of Adventism is wide enough so that we can live in one church, loving each other, respecting each other, and agreeing to disagree, that we are not going to convince one another on biblical arguments. That's perfectly okay.
Folks, my concern is that it's lunchtime now, and we've got some good questions coming up, and I'm wondering, could I have permission to hold those questions until after lunch?
You are the president, you do.
Would that be okay? With those people who want to ask questions, and you may be able to ask some of them, you know, informally, but I know that you know, our caterers have done a good job in preparing lunch, and we don't want to hold. Shall we say an hour for lunch?
Yes.
Would that be fair enough? Okay. And then we can meet back here sharply at 2:00 and ready to take the questions at that time. And we'll do those questions to the people who've had their hands up at that time.
So here, and the girl in the back.
Yeah. Oh, there's about three or four people with questions. Excellent. I'm going to ask. Yes, yes. Well, can I ask you to say the grace for us, please, as you've been so keen? I was about to suggest that. Thank you.